What's going on, everybody? You've got Evan Knowles and Logan Jones here with the Middle Tech Podcast. We've actually got another person on here with us as well, in a different location up in Chicago. My co-founder, Nate Antomasso.
What's up? Bit of a throwback here.
I know, man. We all haven't been on the same podcast for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've actually recorded, period, because we had that little break there with Popular Ventures, but we made good use of the time. We got the whole team together for a retreat. So Nate actually came all the way down from Chicago, or was it New York? Where'd you come in from?
I came in from Rochester because I was there for Thanksgiving. Yeah. I flew down and then I drove back to Chicago because that drive is so much better than the New York to Kentucky drive.
Right. Yeah. So we got Nate in here. We got Nico in from Louisville, and then the rest of the team that was scattered about Kentucky, being home for the holidays and everything. We got them all gathered around at the cabin in Moorhead, Kentucky, and we sat down and had some really constructive sessions, sat around a bonfire, did some hiking. And just grew closer as a team. So we made some good use of our time when we were not recording. But we wanted to get the whole team together and just kind of recap what we did in season three, where we want to take this thing into season four, and just kind of talk big picture the vision of Middle Tech and what we want to do with it going forward. You know, we always want to reconnect with the audience and just catch everybody up on where we're at. And this was a crazy season three. You know, a lot happened this year. We had COVID. We had to go remote. You know, we had never really done a whole lot of remote recordings, but we had to adapt. And thank God for Zoom. We had our 100th episode, which is pretty wild to think about. You know, Nate, you know, we started, about 3 years ago?
Yeah. I remember when we got to our 10th episode, I don't remember what it was about anymore, but I remember we published the 10th episode and I was like, holy crap, like this is real. We have 10 episodes. And now looking back, that seems so small.
Because podcasts, like what's the average length of a new podcast? Like three episodes?
Yeah, I was just looking at this the other day. It's like 60% of podcasts have one episode.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, it's a real stamp of credibility to be able to get to, well, this is going to be our 127th,
something like that. Yeah,
126, 127th episode. It's hard to keep track once you get into triple digits, but it's something we're super proud of.
It's just a lifestyle at this point.
Yeah, let's go back and recap. I'd actually like you and Nate to kind of recap and just give a reminder about why Middle Tech started in the first place and what it's evolved into today.
Yeah. So the story just starts with Nate and I being at Fuji. We were at Fuji. Fuji was growing very, very rapidly. It was just a wild story that was happening in Kentucky. And we were going to startup events around town and telling people, you know, we worked at Fuji. We would be speaking with somebody that, you know, we figured would know about Fuji. They're at a startup event. They're wanting to grow the ecosystem. So you'd think they'd be, you know, plugged into what's going on. But we started to realize a trend, you know, very, very few people, no matter how active they were in the ecosystem, knew about Fuji. And so this continually happened. And at some point, it just triggered my mind. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, how does nobody know about Fuji in Lexington, Kentucky, that just went from like three people in an office downtown to 65 people in like 2.5 years? They've raised $4 million. How does nobody know about this? And so I was just chatting about it with Nate. And Nate and I were like, well, let's try to do something about it. And at that time, podcasts were, you know, really, really starting to take off. Nothing like they are now. I mean, it's only been, you know, 3 years later. It's crazy how much the podcasting space has grown. But, you know, I had already been meeting with a lot of these founders. And so Nate and I were just like, well, let's just interview these people, put a mic in front of them and share it with the community and see what people think. And, you know, we did that. And, you know, 126 episodes later, here we are. And we've got a pretty good size team, and everybody's really excited about it, and it's been crazy to see how it's adapted. But it started as a way to solve that problem, which is, you know, if we're wanting to grow up a startup ecosystem, if we want to have a successful startup ecosystem in the long term, you just have to have more people talking about that ecosystem so that you can inspire more people and educate more people and share failures and things of that nature. Because if you don't do that, then in my opinion, it's actually impossible for an ecosystem to grow at the rate that, you know, people want it to. And with technology today, you have to be catching up at all times to what's happening and catch all the trends you can. And if there's no conversation happening, then it's going to be impossible. And so we saw a hole in the market, which is, you know, there was no digital media. There were plenty of in-person events. You know, a lot of people throw in-person events, but nobody was actually putting out quality media. And so that's the, you know, that was the problem we were solving, and, you know, we've adapted it, and here we are.
Yeah, I think honestly, like we were saying, I think what's more impressive is that we've stuck with it than the fact that we started. Like, we were already having those conversations. Fuji was such a tight-knit group. We were just hanging out, just talking, like drinking beers and just kind of talking about technology and then talking about the ecosystem in Kentucky, in the Midwest, in Lexington. And one day we were just like, let's just throw a mic in front of us. Like, why aren't we recording this? People need to hear these conversations. And it was one, like, cold, rainy night in February. We both lived downtown at that time. I just walked over, and I'm surprised the mic didn't get wet in that walk before we even used it the first time. And we just started talking. I think our first episode about 5G, maybe.
Yeah.
But we just started talking about technology with the mic in front of us, and obviously got guests involved and kind of got the ecosystem involved more and more as we continued. Got great teammates like Logan, like Nico, like TJ, Tom, Jake, who else am I forgetting? Like, everybody involved. And we'll talk about that more. But I think it kind of speaks for itself, because those conversations were happening and they needed to be happening. And so that's why we've been able to just grow it, because there was such a need for it.
Yeah, I remember when I first discovered Middle Tech. I'll take it all the way back to when I first met Evan. Evan came and spoke to one of my entrepreneurship classes about Fuji. And I remember
that's how I met him as well.
Yeah.
Like, so probably a year or so beforehand.
Doyle Friskney.
He is the what created Middle Tech almost.
What a class.
Did you not work at Fuji before meeting Evan?
No, that's how I ended up working at Fuji too. So
that's the same thing.
Quick little, I guess, side note there. My major was media arts and studies, because I wanted to be like a script writer when I was in high school. And then I quickly realized, like, I need to get out of that. So I tried to change my major, but I couldn't. So I just picked up an entrepreneurship certificate. And that was why I was in that class. And there were other speakers, but like Evan, obviously being Evan, just had a different vibe about him. And I was just like, I want to talk to this guy. So I went up after his talk, and then we just kind of connected, and I kind of got the job several months later after staying connected.
Yeah. So pretty much same thing. I can remember this very clearly. Actually, he left the class and I chased him down, literally chased him and caught up to him outside of Willie T and just started talking to him. I was like, man, I love what you're doing. I'd love to get involved in the startup scene. And he gave me one of these little square, Fuji business cards. That was the first, like, all right,
the here. Light blue square card.
Yeah. I still have that business card,
which I hated those because they didn't fit in my wallet. And so it's like, you know, it's not a normal business card, so I couldn't just put in my wallet like all my like normal business cards. And so I had to carry around like a separate container of business cards,
and it wouldn't fit in any client wallets either. Like, I never got that.
Trying to be too different, but it took it from there. And then I remember coming back from a road trip after being friends with Evan for a little bit, saw that Middle Tech was a thing now, and just kind of dove in and became a really engaged audience member, and became friends with Nate and got closer to both of you guys. And then when it was time to grow Middle Tech, was lucky enough to get offered by you two to come on and just help in whatever way I could. And at the time, I had no idea what that was actually going to be. But luckily, I had picked up a digital media design minor when I was at UK, and that was worth something to you guys. So I started making the social media content, and now here we are today. It's naturally progressed into a co-host role. So it's a story I like telling because it's been a major inflection point in my life joining onto Middle Tech. It's how I got started at Fuji, Leadrilla, which is a company that's growing super fast now. We've grown the team from five when I first came on, and now we're 10 people with with a couple part-time employees as well. So hopefully that'll be a better story than Fuji even. That'll spin out a lot of people to get out into the community and build more things. So let's kind of take this conversation. Let's start recapping season 3, because that's kind of what we want to do with this episode here, is recap season 3, look ahead into season 4. So let's start off by talking about our favorite episodes. So Evan, what would you say have been some of your favorite episodes that we've had during this season?
Yeah. So first one, these are in no particular order. I'd say John Wilmoth. So John Wilmoth and I had a relationship prior to him coming on to the Middle Tech podcast. You know, we had known each other from Elizabethtown, and I had reached out to him just to build a relationship there. Cause I wanted to learn more about the venture capital space and knew he was one of the key players in this region and had heard great things about him. So I wanted to make sure I reached out, and he came on the podcast eventually, and that was an awesome episode. He's just a very wise man. He knows a lot cause he's got amazing experience from his background at Nextel. And he's taking that experience and helping startups now in the community and funding them and helping them grow. And so he had a lot of great advice and insights into the community that, you know, frankly, we didn't know, you know, like the Zermed story and many other exits that just, like we have been saying, haven't gotten that publicity that they deserve. So he's been in this space for a long time. And so he had a lot of great wisdom. Kyle Green was another great episode. So Kyle Green is at Handle Global. I think he's just an amazing entrepreneur. He spent, you know, his career prior to Handle getting, you know, very crucial experience in the healthcare industry that allowed him to identify major inefficiencies. Because he was in that space and right in the middle of it, he was able to identify those and start a company to help solve them. And I think the way that he's approached his career and approached Handle has been very methodical. And calculated, and you can tell in the way that Handle's run and the way that he speaks. And I just think he's going to be a really, really successful entrepreneur here in Kentucky for a long time to come. Our 100th episode was obviously pretty special because it was our 100th episode, which is a pretty big milestone. But our guest, I thought, was one of the most high-profile guests we could probably get in Kentucky, period. His name's Mike Davis. He's the Appriss founder. Which is at this point, you know, probably valued over $1 billion. They're doing, you know, over $200 million in revenue, and they've built an amazing big data business, you know, right here in Kentucky, which, you know, Kentucky's not known for technology really, let alone, you know, big data. Big data, whenever you hear that, you'd expect to hear that, you know, taking place in Silicon Valley or Boston, something coming out of MIT, but it's happening right in our backyard, and they're one of the premier big data companies in the entire world. So I think that's, you know, a really cool story. And the way that company was founded was just amazing. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage everybody to go back and listen to that episode. And I'd say my fourth would be Ethan Gill. So Ethan Gill is a personal friend of mine from, and Nate as well, from mm-hmm. Fuji. So he was one of our developers. He was the lead iOS developer at Fuji. And now he is a developer at Facebook. And he's about to move to New York. Very, very talented engineer. One of the smartest people I know. And we just got him on and just chatted about technology. Wasn't necessarily too structured of a conversation, which I really enjoyed because I could mm-hmm. sit there and riff all night about technology. And we, you know, Ethan's one of the people that come to my bonfires. And we spoke about that briefly on that episode. And it's just a very natural conversation with Ethan because we, you know, we both are passionate about technology. So I'd say those are my four favorite episodes in no order.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think all of those were awesome episodes for me. My three favorite, also in no particular order. One of them being the New Frontier Outfitters episode when we got to the cabin. That was the first kind of experimental episode we did where it was like, man, wouldn't it be so cool if we recorded like outside with this awesome view? It'd be so on brand.
Content looked great.
The content looked great. The conversation was great. Those guys are freaking hilarious. We sat out there and drank bourbon and they were smoking a cigar through half of it as well. So that whole episode, I just really enjoyed sitting down with those guys. And those are two people that I've seen grow their brand from. I remember meeting them the first time. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. They were coming to Lexington and setting up in the night market and some of these other festivals that would come around, and they were selling their stuff. And, you know, they're just so authentic to their brand. They have not changed who they are at all. Like the long hair, the hats, the cool looking Appalachian style as they branded themselves is awesome. So to be able to highlight somebody that's building that brand here in Kentucky and also do it in a place that was really special to me out at Cave Run Lake, that was just an awesome experience all around. And then we actually, to go into one of my second favorite episodes, Jeff Rochester, who is the new CMO of AppHarvest, or was the new CMO at the time. He's gotten some experience there now. We went back to the cabin to do this one. And for this one, not only did we have Jeff out there to record, but Jonathan Webb came out there, as well as the New Frontier guys, Josh and Jared, and then, you know, Ramel Bradley. We kind of had a whole crew that came out there and set in live. So that was one of those moments where I was looking around and just kind of seeing the people we had there listening to us and thinking, man, we've created something really cool here. We've created something that people take seriously. We've created something that people see value in. And that was just one of those moments, you know, sitting there and recording that episode where it was just kind of a surreal moment for me. So that's definitely one of my favorite episodes. And then my third one that I wrote down here was the episode with Adam Van Wingerden of Silver Fern Group. So he was in the ag tech space, and I wrote this one down because Adam is just genuinely such a great guy and such a great supporter of Middle Tech. We've kind of become close friends more so than he has just been a guest on Middle Tech. So he now has a remote working membership at Awesome Inc. So we see him around a lot. We get lunch together. Evan and I get lunch with him, and he kind of constantly fills us in on what's going on in the ag tech space. So he's been a great friend of ours, and it was just that episode was kind of our first getting to know each other. And that was also one of our first interviews that was in person after going remote from COVID. So that was one that stood out in my mind as well. Nate, I wanted you to kind of use this time. If you have any favorite episodes, definitely shout them out. But I figured you'd probably want to talk a little bit about the new normal because that was kind of your baby through season three here.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking as well. But I want to highlight the Ethan Gill episode as well, just because I know him personally probably better than any of the other guests just from, you know, being friends at Fuji. And Evan, you said that like that was a kind of free flowing conversation. I think that's what made that one so cool. Just like you could tell like the friendship was there, and you could tell that just like the genuine interest in the topics from all sides of that conversation was there. And I think that's something that, you know, comes through in the audio and something that we should strive for more. Not saying obviously we're not interested in topics, but like just that kind of genuine, just like vibing. I don't know if there's a better way to say it. But that's something that I love, and I think that really makes the podcast great. And that was an amazing episode to listen to. But talking about the new normal, so that was, you know, I'm sure, I know you guys have talked about it on the podcast, but if people haven't listened because it was in a different feed, that was our partnership with Kentucky Sports Radio, where we talked about how businesses were impacted by COVID, specifically Kentucky industries. Like we did bourbon, we did Keeneland, we did all the local breweries. We kind of had fun with the selection of the businesses that we were doing. But we just got to interview some really cool people. You know, we interviewed Buffalo Trace, we interviewed Country Boy, we interviewed Blue Stallion, Keeneland, some great real estate moguls in the area. And we just really got to get their insights into how this year is kind of shitty, to be frank, but also positive looking statements toward the future. And it was really fun too, putting it together, because when we were talking to Kentucky Sports Radio and we were going through the interviews and we were going through kind of the content that we had, we realized that it needed to be different than what our normal thing was. So we did kind of that narrative style. And the best way I found to describe it when I was trying to like tell people what we were doing was like an audio documentary. So if you think of how like the documentary is chopped up, where it's a clip of this person's interview and then a clip of that person's interview. And even though it's edited like that, it tells one cohesive story. That's what we put together. And it took a long time to do that. And I'm sure there's better ways that we could do it in the future. But it was just really cool to kind of produce that for such a local story, and it's something that's clearly missing in the local media landscape. So it was great to partner with KSR. It was great to put it together, and it just got me so excited for the talent that we've built around this cause and what we can do in the future. But yeah, that was, we were working on that from April to November, was it? Like that was almost over a half a year project. Like it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And that was our first step into that narrative style. Like you mentioned, like that was a big undertaking for us. And that was one of those things that we really didn't have any experience doing. You know, we've been doing this podcast for over 100 episodes at that point, but we had not ever tried structuring something where we were chopping up interviews and we were essentially writing an essay and inserting quotes here and there, and then like constructing the audio in that way. And I think it turned out phenomenal. And we're actually hoping to continue working with KSR in some capacity. So listeners, be on the lookout for that as well. But yeah, that was, yeah, kudos to you, Nate, for doing all that. You made that happen for sure. We're happy to help you along with that. But
you guys helped a ton, though.
You definitely made that help. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it wouldn't have happened if you didn't have the idea in the first place. So definitely big shout out to you for that. All right. So now let's move on. Those were our favorite episodes and projects that we worked on this year. We made some big strides just as a company in general. So to start, some of the improvements we made as a team and as a company, was production quality increased pretty heavily. So COVID kind of threw a wrench in this, but there's a couple different ways that production improved. One, you know, so when I started taking over as producer, I did not have any experience as a sound engineer. So a lot of it was just me learning and watching YouTube videos and iterating and doing things wrong and doing things right and figuring that out. We also got into video pretty heavily in season three. Actually, I don't think we had video up until season three. Yeah. So
this is my first one I've ever done with a video.
Yeah. So, I mean, Zoom makes it easy, but for a lot of them, and this is something we're still going to have to iterate on, we'd either be setting up GoPros or iPads in here, which, you know, it could definitely be improved, but to be able to see the team, I feel like for a lot of our listeners kind of gave it more of a personality, gave Middle Tech a face. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I was really proud of that we kind of stuck with, and we were like, all right, we're doing this. And then it was no looking back from there. Once we started doing video, it was like, all right, this is what we're doing. And it added a little extra work to it, but I think it was something that was well worth the extra effort. And then we also moved heavily into Louisville. So that was something that season three was a pretty big focus on. Evan, I'll let you kind of pick up on that because you were kind of the catalyst for us moving into Louisville, just because your network was pretty deep in Louisville right when we started doing that.
Yeah. You know, from the beginning, you know, we called this Middle Tech for a reason. We didn't call it, you know, Lexington Tech or Kentucky Tech. Mm-hmm. And so we've always had a vision of expanding. And so we started in Lexington. That first episode was solely focused on Lexington. I don't think we had a guest outside of Lexington. And that was very purposeful. And so when you start a company, you have to start niche, typically. If you don't start niche, you're not going to get the traction you need to continue growing. And we needed that niche in Lexington to get that base of listeners in Lexington. And once we got that, and once we knew we had that, we said, okay, let's move pretty heavily into Louisville. And so season three was when we started to do that. And so that was a big undertaking because it took a good amount of travel. It took a good amount of additional networking on, you know, our part. I had a good amount of connections in Louisville, but I still had to, you know, continue to do that. But, you know, from our listenership perspective, you know, before this season, we probably had, you know, 80 to 60% of our audience was in Lexington. At this point, at the end of season three, we've got 41% of our audience is in Lexington, 20% is in Louisville, and the rest of the percentage is actually around the world. There's a lot of people in other states that have left Kentucky and want to stay in touch with what's going on in Kentucky. We have a worldwide audience, mostly because of AppHarvest, because, you know, AppHarvest has a lot of connections in you know, the Netherlands and Denmark and that whole area up there. And so that's kind of what a goal was, is to continue to expand. In season four, we're going to make another effort within expanding. So, you know, a goal was to have about 20 to 25% of our audience in Louisville. And that tells us that's when we're ready to move to another market. Anytime we get a good amount of even distribution in the audience tells us we need to continue to expand. And next, we're going to be looking to Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Nashville. Our goal is to have a regional podcast here that covers, you know, this region of the United States. It's between the coasts, but mostly in the, you know, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee area. And so that's the plan. And we've done a good job executing against that. We're just going to do a continued effort there and continue to get high-profile guests. You know, as we get more regional, the more we spread out, the more we're going to have to get high-profile guests. And that's going to be a major goal, is to continue to improve the quality of the guests. And when I say quality, I mean, you know, just the stage of the company they're in, the network these people have, the ability for them to execute at a high level, so they can pass on, you know, these learnings to the region. And so our guests will continue to improve over time. And that's the goal there.
Yeah, and that's not even to say that any of our past guests are not super high caliber. We just want to start getting I think a better way to say that is, like, we want to start getting guests that are further along in the process of building these larger companies, have had more recognition, mm-hmm. and maybe more people recognize who they are when they come on. But something that I just kind of want to highlight, just good memories here, is Evan and I going packing up all the podcasting gear and going up to Louisville. That was a pain in the ass a lot of the time, but man, I would not trade those trips up to Louisville for anything. A lot of times, so we're lucky enough to have a connection here at Awesome Inc. actually, who owns a Tesla Model X, and he'll let friends and family rent it out for pretty cheap. So we'd rent out the Tesla and drive that up to Louisville on the self-drive. It drove us up to Louisville. And man, just like being in the Tesla.
I didn't know that. That's dope.
Oh God, Nate. It was so cool. We would have that Tesla and it'd be on autopilot, and we'd be listening to like cool music, and we'd be doing this cool tech podcast. And that was another one of those moments where you just kind of look around and you're like, man, this is so freaking cool. Like what we're doing here is just, it's fun. And this is, I'm passionate about this. So those were just always great memories going up there, packing all of our stuff up into Story Louisville, recording there late night, going and getting like McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or something like that to nourish ourselves before and after the interviews. And that's just one of those things that took a lot of extra effort to do that. And I think some people look at that, you know, we're not getting paid for doing this. And some people are going to say, you drove an hour at 6 p.m. to go up to Louisville and record for an hour and then you drove back. Like, why in the world would you do that? And I say that because I want people to realize how passionate this entire team is about solving the problem that we're solving. And I said this when we were on retreat. Middle Tech kind of has a superpower because we don't rely on revenue to keep this thing going. We rely purely on passion. I mean, yes, we want to get revenue and we're working towards monetization. We'll touch on that more here in a minute. But the superpower of Middle Tech is that everyone is so passionate about solving the problem that the only way this dies or anything happens to it is if like all of a sudden we just quit caring about what we're doing. And that's just, I don't foresee that ever happening.
One of the big differences there is all of us are actually in the startup space.
Exactly.
You know, we're actively working for startups. Yeah. So by default, we have to be passionate or our day-to-day work wouldn't be, you know, satisfying us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we have that experience and because we're living, you know, the startup lifestyle every day, we're able to talk about this stuff at a different level than other media companies are even capable of. Because most journalists, they've never done what we've done. And so we've got an edge there, and it's an edge of experience and passion. And so that's really important for us. And that's what's going to, you know, continue to take us and grow us into the future.
Yep. And then, okay, next point, we've gotten into, I'm just going to say more content in general. So the first step to that was more blogs. We brought on Tom to start doing that, and he has absolutely killed it. So Tom is a law school student up at U of L, and Tom Monarch, and he is just an absolute beast of a writer. He somehow cranks out these blogs while still being in law school, which tells you how good of a writer he is to be able to write as quickly as he does.
It's funny because I went to high school with Tom, and Tom and I actually never really spoke in high school. We had, you know, a couple times. Because we did track together and we knew each other from that, and I think our lockers were kind of close to each other because K and M are close to each other. But you know, we weren't actually I would say friends in high school. I was pretty quiet. But it's just funny to see the connection later down the road. And he reached out when he saw us, you know, looking for writers, and I just thought that was awesome. So it's cool to like reconnect and, you know, become friends with somebody that, you know, I knew prior and then lost that connection, and then. You know, now he's on the team and he's killing it. So that's been cool.
Absolutely.
And he's like a machine. It's like he posts those drafts like every day in our Slack channel. And it's like another like 2-page paper you just cranked out last night.
I know. It's
like, it's absolutely wild.
It's remarkable, which tells me he's probably going to be a great lawyer one day because that involves a lot of reading and writing and understanding. And he's absolutely killing it.
I could never be a lawyer, by the way.
No way.
The studies they have to do and the way that, God, you know, that degree set up, man. Oh, man.
Joseph. So my roommate, Joe Pro, who's good friends with Evan and I, he just finished his finals week like last week, which is, I just don't see him. He like disappears and all he's doing is reading and watching lectures. And as soon as he's done with it, the very next day, he's picking up this book about investing in real estate. And he literally reads the entire book in like a day. And I'm like, You're just built for this. You're just cut from a different cloth. You genuinely love reading that much and understanding and comprehending. So kind of a tangent there, but that's just to say, you know, people in law school, that's just what they're kind
different,
of cut out to
different
do.
Animals. We have different a lot of law animals. School friends, and I just
It's impressive. It really is. But another thing that we started doing was we got into TikTok. As reluctant as Evan and I seemed to be, we talked a lot of shit about TikTok and all the controversy that was going on.
I am big on the TikTok train.
Yeah, so Nate, I kind of want you to talk about it because you've been our little TikTok star. You're starting to get a lot of attraction on the Middle Tech TikTok page. So you've really taken to it and you've started killing it. So I would encourage listeners to check out Nate on TikTok.
Yeah, where do I start with TikTok? I mean, with Middle Tech, we've started posting. I've been trying to post every day because TikTok is such a volume game. Because, I mean, you guys have talked about it on the podcast. You've talked about it on your weekly updates. But it's all that algorithm, you know, who can your content get in front of? So we're trying to grow the audience there and just trying to get in front of as many tech interested people as possible. So I've just been trying to post every day. It's like you have to speak differently on there, like just speed this podcast up like twice. And then that's how fast I talk on TikTok. But it's fun to create. I'm so long on TikTok as a platform. I know me and Evan got in an argument this summer about it. It's just, I don't know. I know people that work there through my like day job, but I just think like that algorithm is what their piece of gold is. And it's so cool to see anybody just scale their audience as long as they niche down enough. So we're hoping to get that Midwest tech audience. If you have any stories that you think would be cool to cover, just send them our way. But we're excited to get more of the team on there and just kind of put a face to our personalities in a more short form piece of content there and just see what we can grow.
Yeah. I reluctantly made my own TikTok account now.
Yeah. I'm not going to make it personal. I'm only using my middle tech one.
What they know about me is scary.
Yeah. So I like to talk about TikTok. I don't use it, but TikTok's really interesting just because it took the technology space by storm. And the reason it did, yeah. And you know, I have studied TikTok, and the reason TikTok is so unique is it's the first application that's ever existed that's actually just pure artificial intelligence. There's nothing else that you can actually interact with on TikTok that's not artificial intelligence, and we've never interacted with something like that. Google is probably the most artificial intelligent company people interact with, but the entire user experience is not artificial intelligence. TikTok is, and so what TikTok is it's just a screen that basically mirrors your mind. And people don't think of it that way, but that's actually what it is. It's just artificial intelligence learning about you and then mirroring what's on your mind. And nobody's ever interacted with something like that. And it's basically, A16Z had a really great podcast on this that I encourage listening to. It's basically, it's one of the first applications that the entire user experience was designed with artificial intelligence in mind. So Facebook and Instagram were not designed with artificial intelligence in mind necessarily, because you can interact with a lot of things on Instagram and a lot of things on Facebook. But on TikTok, the second you open the app, it starts playing a video. So you actually don't have an opportunity to interact with anything other than artificial intelligence. And that's never happened. And that's why it's picked up so fast, because it learns about you and provides you this content. And it's just a really unique application that's blown up. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, personally, I've been hesitant to use it, because it's just another thing that's going to, you know, take my time away. But I do enjoy studying it, because it is a disruptive technology, and people don't think of it that way. It's very, very disruptive.
Yeah.
But you know, it's very unique, and I do enjoy talking about it.
Yep. Absolutely.
People joke about it, and I've made the jokes too of how like you can just lose your night on TikTok. Like you go to bed, you're saying I'm gonna watch like 5 TikToks, and then it's 2 hours later. And like, yeah, that's a funny joke, but the reason that is because of that AI, because it's just picking up every single action that you do. If you look at the comments, if you look at someone's profile, if you share, if you, whatever you do, and it's just like building this profile on you can serve you the perfect content. And that is scary as like a time waste, but what does that mean for AI in the future? Like, are we just going to interact with it all the time, constantly, and not even realize it? I don't know.
Well, that's already happening.
We could have a whole podcast about that.
That's already happening. You know, if you really think about it now.
How so?
Well, I mean, people don't realize that, like, whenever you know, use a Spotify playlist, you know, and it's suggesting music.
That's
like,
true.
There are so many things.
Just constantly listening.
There are so many algorithms that construct your day to day that, you know, you don't even think about it anymore. Now, is it on the level of what you were just talking about, you know, where it's just ubiquitous and everything is that way? Not yet, but people actually don't realize that a lot of things that are going on in the background are just artificial intelligence. And, you know, that'll continue to, you know, shape the way we interact with each other.
Yeah. And that's we're almost getting into the discussion that we had with Ethan Gill. We talked a lot about all of these kind of tech ethic issues. So I would encourage you to listen to that episode if you're listening to this, and I would also encourage you to go and watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix, because a lot of what we're discussing here, the time sink and the way we're being addicted to our technology is covered in those episodes, and it's something that's really interesting and something that I want, if you're listening to this podcast, you have no excuse to not be aware of it. You should be following all that stuff pretty closely. So to recap one last thing here in season 3, something else that we did that we have to highlight here for sure is adding onto the team. So we are now a team of 10 people who are helping to push this company forward in some way or another, actually about to be 11, as we bring on a production intern here shortly, in early 2021. So in season 3, we have added Jake Spencer, Tom Monarch, Weston Lockhart, TJ Barnett, and Justin Hall. And let's just kind of recap their episode or their roles real quick, and what they're going to be focusing on. So Jake who has been with us actually through all of season three. I think right between the transition of season two to season three is when Evan and I met Jake and brought him on. He was previously an intern at Awesome Inc. And killed the design there, and we brought him on to handle all of our design stuff and a lot of our social stuff as well. And he did that. He took that and ran with it and iterated on design. And he's the reason that a lot of our stuff looks as legit as it does today. So he took a big responsibility off of my plate and helped kind of elevate our entire design and brand of Metal Tech. We mentioned Tom, brought Tom on to do all the blogs. We've given Tom his shout out for sure. He absolutely kills it, the blog game. Weston. So this is an interesting one. Weston is coming on. I'm actually going to let Evan talk about this one because this is kind of
this is the first time we're
This is the first announcing this, official thing. We don't have to announce it officially. We can kind of tease at it, but I'll let Evan decide what we want
to
do.
Yeah. So Weston's story is actually identical to yours, Logan. Mm-hmm. So he reached out to me on LinkedIn after he listened to one of our episodes. I think it was the episode where I was talking about how the culture here in Kentucky is very conservative and that's going to have to change. And he really resonated with that. And so he reached out and said, hey, let's get coffee. We got coffee. I just was, immediately realized this is somebody that, I would be, good friends with. We have a lot of the same ideals about Kentucky and especially Lexington, how we want to help grow the city and just our interests really align. And Weston and I are, at the same point, really as our age and within the real estate community. So Weston's in commercial real estate. He's absolutely killing it. He has a lot more experience than I do in real estate. But we had connected over the fact, like I said, we want to grow Lexington. And one of the ways we want to do that is to own real estate here. And, we've got a project that we'll touch on here in a second that Weston's coming on to help us with. But yeah, Weston joined the team. He just reached out. We continue to show passion. And then eventually when we start talking about expanding our operations and expanding our content, which again, we'll talk about here in a second, Weston was the first person that came to mind as somebody we can lean on that wants to help grow the community. And I think he's going to be a killer podcast host because of his personality. And he's a very knowledgeable person in the real estate space. So he's a great addition to the team.
Yeah. And go ahead and take it into TJ as well, because you and Nate have been friends with TJ since Fuji days. Another Fuji Mafia member. Imagine that.
Yeah.
We've talked about this several times in the podcast, but I think Fuji will go down as, one of Lexington's most culturally relevant things to ever happen.
For sure.
I can confidently say that.
Without a doubt. The company I'm working at now has two ex-Fuji engineers building our product.
But yeah, I knew TJ prior to Fuji. So when I came to UK, I was in the business living learning program. And TJ and I had started a company our freshman year with Michael Lewis. And Michael was the founder and CEO. Danny Perry was media. TJ was doing social. And so we had all founded that company together.
Sam
Marks. Yep. And we had grown that, and that failed. We learned from that. And then my next thing was Fuji. And then TJ joined Fuji. And so we've been working together basically our whole, working careers. Yeah. And he's just very, very talented. So TJ currently is working for the NBA on their social team, very talented in the social media arena. And so when he moved from New York back to Kentucky, I immediately reached out to him and said, hey, listen, we need you on Middle Tech. We want to improve on social. And, you're the perfect person to help us with that. And here he is. So TJ is a good friend. I'm glad to have him on the team.
Yeah. And then
TJ is awesome. Both marketing managers together at Fuji. He's a great guy, first off. And B, he's just super talented. He's basically running, I don't want to undersell it here, he's basically running social media for the WNBA and then NBA's 2K League, which is two crazy properties to be running social media for. So he's been a great asset to our team. If you've noticed, the social has gotten better in the past couple of weeks. That's why. And hopefully that just keeps scaling in 2021. But going back to that Finance U team that you talked about, Evan, that was one of our first guest episodes. I think we had I think Doyle was our first guest, and then we went to UK to the Venture Lab, and then I think you had the Finance U crew on. And to see how much more professional this is, Evan made dinner in the middle of the podcast. And the oven literally beeped in the middle of it.
And I was eating in the middle of the podcast. It was a very casual setting. Yeah. We were sitting around the table in our apartment in Park Plaza. But Yeah, that was funny. That's a good memory.
All right. So full circle with him.
Yep. And the last teammate, and we'll touch more on him here in a second, Justin Hall. So Justin Hall is one of the main people at the Osmink boot camp, helping run that. Very talented developer, very well-known developer, actually around the nation and the world for what he's done with BitSource. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be a co-host of a project we're going to talk about here in a second. But somebody that we're grateful to have on the team, and, you know, another podcast we're going to be starting here soon. But let's now transition into the final part of this episode and start to wrap it up by looking into the future, because, you know, the future of Miltech is very exciting. You know, we've expanded the team, we're improving the content, and we're going to talk about it in a second, but we're monetizing, and we're just putting all that money back into the podcast for the audience and for our mission. So I already kind of mentioned, you know, one of the things we're going to start doing is getting, you know, high profile guests on from the region. That's going to be something we actively work on. But what we want to talk about most here is two or three of the new initiatives we're doing on the podcast side of things into the future. So the first one I want to touch on is what we're calling, by the way, the overarching theme of these. It's going to be part of the Middle Tech podcast. So we release these every Monday. But we're now going to be releasing podcasts on other days as well under the umbrella of Middle Tech Deep Dives. So they're going to be part of our the same series. So if you search Middle Tech on Spotify, Deep Dives will be a part of that as well.
I think it's just real quick. I think it's important to note that Middle Tech is more than a podcast now. We consider Middle Tech a whole media company.
Yeah.
So I just want to preface that. Yeah. Middle Tech is much more than just Middle Tech podcasts. We have huge plans going into the future, and these three that Evan is are going over right now are just the beginning of what we want to turn this into.
Yep. So the first one we want to talk about is we're doing a developer deep dive series. So through my own personal experience being in the tech space, becoming friends with a lot of developers from Fuji and just in general, I started to realize that, you know, that community is very fragmented as well. Engineers are, you know, naturally pretty quiet people. And, you know, they are superheroes. Like when you talk about startups and technology, that doesn't exist without developers. And I just never got the sense that developers in Kentucky were treated as like superstars or rock stars or just like generally like cool people. And they really are. Like they're the coolest people I know. And it's just, they just don't get enough attention. You know, there's no media stories coming out in, you know, the Herald Leader or any, the Courier Journal or anything about developers. You know, they get absolutely zero attention. Under the radar. But they're building all of, you know, Kentucky's most important companies right now. You know, Yum Brands. I have my co-founder in my current startup and somebody who's a very talented developer here in Kentucky, Kendall Y. You know, Yum Brands is turning into a tech company. And every company, especially after this year, if you don't become a tech company, you're dead. And the only way to become a tech company is to have developers on your payroll. And we've got to start like talking about developers like they're rock stars, like I said. And so what we're doing with this developer deep dive series is we're going to be having developers on from the companies we're already interviewing the CEOs of and just dive into their tech stacks, dive into what the decisions are that they're making internally to build a successful tech company. And Justin Hall is going to be doing that and just kind of nerding out with them over development. It's not something that, you know, the general audience is probably going to be, you know, super interested in. I encourage you to listen to it to learn more about development. But what we're trying to do here is target a certain part of the demographic within Kentucky that are developers and give them a way to have more conversation about what's being built here in Kentucky so that they can get more excited about it. But one of the more important things about this is to build a thriving developer ecosystem in Kentucky where somebody doesn't feel like they have to graduate college and leave Kentucky. Because there's a lot of really cool things happening in Kentucky, technology-wise, that people are just not hearing about because something like Middle Tech hasn't existed in the past. And so when somebody that's taking computer science or computer engineering or electrical engineering and they're graduating UK or U of L, I don't want them to leave Kentucky. And one of the ways that we want to combat that is actually have more conversation about what's happening here so that they actually have a reason to stay. So we're doing developer deep dives, something I'm super excited about. And again, Justin Hall is going to be hosting that. Another deep dive series, as I mentioned, we brought on Weston Lockhart to the team. And this one was, you know, a personal idea that I had. I went on a retreat with some friends, totally different retreat outside of Miltech. And we had begun talking about, I gave a presentation on, you know, why people should build a media brand around their passions. And one of the areas that I'm passionate about is real estate. I really enjoy real estate and just studying it. And again, the exact same problem that I had with the startup and technology space existed in the real estate space. So I had to, you know, get dirty, get my hands dirty, and actually go and like shadow home inspectors and just network really hard, get coffee with a lot of people. But as I say about, you know, middle tech and the startup space, most people are not willing to get coffee from people that might end up being their mentors or to learn. They'd much rather just consume media and learn that way. And that just didn't exist, mm-hmm. you know, in Kentucky either, especially in Lexington. So what we're doing with real estate deep dives is just diving deep into some of the major developments around Lexington, you know, the Rep Arena development, the convention center, the park, Lex Live, Hamburg, the city center downtown. We're talking to all of the developers that put these things in place. You know, these are real estate moguls here in Kentucky. We're going to be getting them on the podcast and learning about their strategies, learning about what they've made as mistakes, what they've learned through their career, but more importantly, looking into the future of what Lexington and Kentucky is going to look like from a real estate perspective. And so those are two deep dives that we're going to be start doing here in 2021. And then Nate, talk briefly about, you know, the narration and kind of narrative style podcast and where we see that going.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity with that. And, you know, maybe it's woven into a couple of these topics and maybe there can be entirely new stories that we haven't even thought about. But I think the narrative format allows you to really, you know, not to use the same term, dive deep, but it allows you to explore a topic in a way that you just, you can't really do in just one, you know, straight interview like we're doing now or one straight conversation. So I'm excited for the future of that. And we have the talent to do that. And when the right story pops up, like it did with COVID, I think that's something we're going to jump on and people can expect to see some more audio essays or audio documentaries coming from us because they're fun to put together and they shed light on some really cool stories. The other thing that I think we need to talk about is a possibility for outsourced podcast production, which has been something we've been thinking about since the beginning of Middle Tech.
Yeah. I do want to touch on this just from my perspective and, you know, you guys can pick it up after that. As somebody that, you know, is deeply in the sales space and has studied the sales space and really enjoys that space, sales is all about telling stories and resonating with people and just connecting with people. And there's no form of media that's better than that at podcasts. And so if you're a company, if you're a startup, if you're any size company, if you're an enterprise or just a brand new company, and you're not considering starting a podcast, I would say that you need to. Like, I actually don't think in the future you'll have a choice because you have to connect with your customers. Yeah. You have to connect with your potential customers. You have to connect with all of your stakeholders. And the most genuine and pure way to do that is a podcast. And so what I think, you know, in the future, a major part of sales strategies will be producing good quality podcasts. A lot of the successful companies I follow produce their own podcast because it's just a way to consume their subject matter really easily and seamless, no matter where you are. You don't have to be at your computer, you know, watching a webinar. You don't have to have a pitch deck downloaded. You can be driving around, listening and learning about a product, learn about a team behind a company that you're thinking about investing in or thinking about, you know, purchasing their service. And if you want to do that as a company, we want to help with that. We have done a ton of episodes now. We know how to produce podcasts. We have a lot of salespeople on our team that are, you know, have grown sales teams that are growing sales team managing large accounts. We know how to produce a podcast. And we think we were going to have a special angle on producing podcasts for the purpose of sales. So companies like Handle Global and startups that are growing and have enough funding to potentially do a podcast, you know, they might not want to do that in-house. They might want to do that outsourced. And, you know, that somebody like Middle Tech could help with that. And I just threw out Handle Global as an example.
Yeah. I'll speak on this from my perspective. I think Nate's going to have a good perspective on this as well. Just in the terms of the value that Middle Tech is able to provide when it comes to outsourced productions. You know, I feel like when people think, oh, I want to start a podcast, in people's minds, they think it's not that hard to actually start a podcast. It's like, how difficult can it be to sit a microphone in front of you with some friends and get after it? But there's just a whole lot more that goes into it in terms of like the software you have to have, the equipment you have to have, the know-how to get it posted everywhere and the different services that we use to actually get that podcast out there. But more so than that, I think we're going to be able to provide a lot of value in like the consulting area of getting a podcast off the ground, because it's something we literally have 127 episodes that we can point to and say, hey, we have iterated and failed and done well. And we know how this whole dynamic of creating a podcast goes. And we can kind of be an almost advisory board for someone who wants to get a podcast off the ground. So I think that we can provide a ton of value when it comes to helping somebody that wants to outsource a podcast to us.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. The way I've kind of been thinking about it is with services like Anchor, where you can literally record on your phone, like it is easy to start a podcast, but it's really, really hard to do a podcast well. Same with social media. That's why marketing agencies still exist, even though you can get on your phone and post on Instagram right away. Like to do something well, it takes a lot of expertise. And that's something that we have. It's also something that I think people have recognized, and people have come to us already, been asking about this. We've even had a client in the past that we've done it for. So I think that the opportunity is there. And Evan, like you were saying, is going to be expected. I know back in the day, companies were like, do we really have to get on social media? Like, we don't want to post tweets. Do we have to do that? And now if a company's not doing that, it's like, are they still operating?
Are they what's dumb? Going
on? Yeah. So like the podcasting is going to get there, whether it's next year or the following year or whenever. And just having that expertise in your corner is going to be beneficial. And we don't mean to turn this into a sales pitch now, maybe in the future. But we're excited to have those capabilities and help in the same way that the podcast helps local businesses. We want to do that with this as well. It all ties into the mission of helping the startup ecosystem there in Kentucky.
Yep. And that's one way we're, you know, hoping to monetize what we've been building, you know, all along.
And it's beneficial.
Yeah. Which is, you know, the last point I wanted to make before we wrap this up is, you know, we didn't do this, you know, as Logan said earlier, you know, this was never for the money. You know, we're solving a major problem here in Kentucky and in this region of the United States. We're passionate about it. If we never got paid, you know, we'd still be doing it. But one exciting thing that has happened that we've been working towards and had delayed because of COVID is we're starting to monetize. So in season three, we had just started to see our audience grow, you know, pretty substantially. We had gotten so many, you know, words of recognition and just people really resonating with what we're doing that we said, okay, well, you know, let's just start having some conversations with people and seeing if there's an opportunity to monetize here, get grants, get sponsorship. And so one of the things we did at the retreat a couple of weeks ago is we said, let's set a goal for ourselves to monetize. Let's set a lofty goal just so we have something to aim for. And let's see what we can do. Let's reach out to some companies and try to get sponsorship. And something actually, you know, crazy happened. Which is amazing, and it speaks to the how awesome this community is here in Kentucky. We had several people just come inbound and say, you know, hey, we want to be sponsors. We love what you're doing. You reach an audience that is hard to reach, and we want you to, you know, sponsor or promote our brand. And you know, we are actually almost halfway to our goal that we set at retreat, and we thought that goal was pretty lofty. You know, having no monetization to go into monetization. We're almost, you know, halfway to that goal, which is pretty crazy. And the season hasn't even started. You know, it's been a couple of weeks from the time we set that goal. So it's very exciting stuff. And just so everybody knows, you know, any sponsorship money that we get is just going right back into the product. It's going into improving the production. It's going into ads to reach a larger audience. It's going to all kinds of things that are going to be useful for us to continue to build a better product. So we're reinvesting and we'll see where it goes. But it's really exciting stuff. And one of the reasons that we're starting to get the sponsorship is people are catching on that we reach probably the hardest to reach demographic in the entire media space. We reach our average listener is typically between the ages of, you know, 23 and 40, and they're very high net worth individuals. Our average median income of our podcast listenership is about $78,000. $78,000.
Shout out to Podchaser for that data.
Yeah, that's huge data that we can use. The average, you know, the median income in Kentucky is like 45, 43, something like that. And our audience is CEOs, VPs, executives, founders, people wanting to be founders. Just really, you know, again, the median income speaks for itself. We're reaching a very rare audience because of the topics we're talking about. So people that are B2B in this region are starting to catch on to that, and we're starting to get some sponsors, which is really cool.
Yeah. And then,
yeah. And at the same time, I want to say, like, we're not exploiting that audience either. Like, everybody that we partner with for a sponsorship is people that A, we know as a group already, or B, we truly believe can benefit that audience. And I think that's something to highlight, because everything we do, like we said, is for the community, even exposing them to new potential partners through the sponsorships.
Yep, for sure. And then one last thing I want to say about monetization. We got into hats this season. Evan and I went and delivered some hats. Evan even got a boot on his car delivering hats.
Yes, that is, yeah, that's a hell of a story, which we've told on, I
forget which episode that is. We might have to insert like a little listener note in there to, so they can go and reference it. But anyway, we want to get heavy into merch here in season four as well, and have, allow our listeners to be able to go out and rep our brand. We have lots of our friends that wear the Middle Tech hats around. It always makes me feel so supported and so cool when I see other people wearing the Middle Tech logo. So thank you guys for everyone that has a hat. I'll be looking out for more merch to come out here.
I want a Patagonia vest.
I want a Patagonia vest so bad. I want to be a tech bro with the Patagonia vest and the Middle Tech logo.
Middle Tech bro.
Yeah. Okay. So to wrap this up, I just wanted to take a second, and I'll let you guys speak on this as well, but just to genuinely say thank you so much to our audience and the people who have supported us through all of this. You know, one of the things that we did for retreat, we reached out to our audience and our supporters, past guests of ours, and I asked that they send us a video of some words of encouragement to give our team some extra fuel to their fires going into season four, just give a little extra passion for us. And we ended up with like, I forget how many videos we got total. It was something in 15 or 20. And all the videos were so passionate and so heartfelt, and I'm getting chills just thinking about it. It's just, what we've built here is something that we're very proud of, and it wouldn't be what it is without the people that support us. So from the bottom of our hearts and from the bottom of my heart personally, thank you guys for all the support that you've shown us. And I'll let Nate and Evan kind of take us out here.
Yeah, that was a really cool moment. You know, a lot of those people were personal friends, and, you know, we talk about all kinds of other things, but to hear them talk about, you know, Middle Tech was really cool, really special, and you know, really, it gave us fuel. You know, we have enough fuel, yeah, but, you know, it pushed us even further to realize, you know, how we're personally affecting these people and in the region. And that was awesome. So yeah, to echo what, you know, Logan says, you know, we do this for the ecosystem. We do this for all of the listeners and for the people that are trying to change, you know, Kentucky and this region for the best. Because, you know, again, in my opinion, right now is the time that people have to lean into technology, whether they like it or not. Every business has to become a technology company. So we want to help, you know, fuel that movement here in this region of the United States. And that's what we care about most is helping to elevate this region's business ecosystem. And we just really want to continue to do that into the future. And, you know, we're going to do that. So, again, thank you for everybody that shared stuff of ours on social media, that's bought merch, that, you know, sent in one of those testimonials. All that is very important to us, and we're very grateful.
Yeah, those testimonials were motivating, like you said, but I also just want to say thank you. Like, we do this for that community, and seeing the appreciation and the dedication to listening and liking and sharing all the content, that's what makes it worth it to keep going. So we're excited to be motivated into season four, to keep going and to grow that audience as well.
And so this is going to be our last episode of season three. It's been such an incredible season, and we're so excited to come back to you guys in early January of 2021 with season four and some more big goals to achieve. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you soon.